Longing for God in Zion. Commentary for the March 16th, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Psalm 84, verse 2. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Romans 8, verses 19 through 22. In my lifetime, the world population has grown from 2.5 billion to over 8.1 billion. That is a population increase of 324%. The current population density is 54 people for every square kilometer of land on Earth. This does not sound terribly crowded, but when we consider that only a little over 25% of that land is arable, and there has been little change in the amount of arable land over the past decade, even with a population growth rate that has decreased to under 1% per year, the strain on world food supplies will only increase. This does not consider food stores destroyed by warfare, leaving populations to starve in a world that for now has the potential to feed everyone. Some seem to never have enough, though their gluttony is already well sated. On the other hand, some seem to come into the world only to live a short, miserable life and die under the boot heels of those whose attitude is, "If you do not submit to me, I will starve you, torture you, destroy everything you own and every person and thing you love for no other reason than that I have the power to do so." We see this never-ending scenario in so many places on the planet. We see it in the Russian warfare against Ukraine. We see it in the Israeli warfare against Gaza. We see it in the civil wars in Ethiopia and Sudan. We see it in the vicious gangsterism in Haiti. We even see it in the United States, in the hearts of those who see no problem with tearing the country apart to refight the civil war of almost two centuries ago. It seems no matter where we turn, there is rot at the core of everything greedy humanity touches. While some might feel this is nothing more than social Darwinism, and therefore the natural order of things, it goes beyond that. In the first episode of The Gilded Age, a home box office network series, the patriarch of the Russell family, informs a competitor he was negotiating with that he will build a railroad line right next to the other man's line. When asked why he would do that, since it would cost far more to do that than to simply buy the existing line, his response was, "Because I can." When a desire for control and even vengeance outweighs common sense like that, we end up with situations like the Ukraine war, where a greedy autocrat like Vladimir Putin is willing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of his citizens in a vicious act of vanity. He may believe he is doing it to secure the future of his people, but for all the grieving mothers weeping over the graves of their sons, or the many wives who have been widowed, what is the future for them? Will they thank him for shedding that blood of their children or spouses? Will they appreciate that their sons and husbands will no longer be there for them? I spent a year providing medical support in the useless war in Vietnam. Over 1.25 million total people died on all sides in that conflict. We lost over 58,000 United States servicemen. But as tragic as that is, the Vietnamese killed one another at a far greater rate, laying almost 1 million of their fellow citizens in their graves. ironically, the same communist regime that so many Americans died fighting now welcomes American tourists, including Vietnam veterans, by the thousands. No one currently needs to starve. There is enough food for all. No one need die fighting for land. There is still enough for all. But instead, people are bloodily driven from their land, and millions flee to refugee camps starving, with many dying on the journey or soon after arriving because of the evil they have been subjected to. Toddlers and infants are little more than toothpick figures for lack of nourishment. So much of the tragedy is of the "your grandfather killed my grandfather, so now that I can, I will kill you" nature. And the bloodshed goes on. It does not seem to matter. Whether Christian or Jew, Muslim or Hindu, atheist or animist, all seem to succumb to the desire to destroy the enemies of their past. The only thing that seems capable of stopping the bloodshed and cruelty is the outside intervention of an irresistible force. Some religions depend upon that and teach apocalyptic scenarios where a messianic being will return and destroy all the enemies of their particular faith and promote the faithful to heavenly bliss. The book of Revelation seems to endorse that viewpoint. But sometimes I wonder if God is simply going to be like the parent who shouts from the next room, "If you kids don't stop fighting, I'm coming in there, and you're going to wish you had." The Old Testament supplies metaphors for that understanding. Things got so bad a global flood became necessary to stop the evil. Things got so bad that Israel was used to stop the evil being done by the Canaanites. Things got so bad that the Assyrians had to deal with the Samaritans. Things got so bad that the Babylonians had to deal with Jerusalem. Several of these examples are regional, but the flood story is evidence that things can get bad enough that dealing with it becomes an apocalyptic event. We complain about God, the genocidal being who wipes everyone out, but the real problem is us. We are so very skilled at wiping everyone out ourselves. All it takes is one madman to pull the nuclear trigger, and the apocalypse is here. Some despots are already threatening to do just that. Even though it would cost them as well, like Mr. Russell in the Gilded Age, they may do so simply because they can. Unfortunately, fear produces anger, and with everyone living in fear of a nuclear apocalypse, the global fever can rise to the point that it can become a reality. When we consider our short lifespans, even if we should live out our years, it all seems so pointless. We are like a firework that shoots forth for a moment, bursts, and is gone and soon forgotten. As children, we can hardly wait to become adults, when we are free to enjoy life. Then as adults, we take ourselves far too seriously as we fritter away our strongest and best years, toiling for things that, like us, will perish one day. Whether we lived our lives for anger and vengeance, or we lived them for love and compassion, either way we will return to dust. Nonetheless, we can do so with the hope of a resurrection to a better place. All of creation witnesses to the existence of that place, for it thrives without the polluting miasma that we have covered the planet with. It struggles to survive despite such evil that it might one day see a restoration to Edenic balance. Some would deny the idea that nature is anything other than something else to be forced to submit to totalitarian control. Even on a personal level, many live with their own yards, subjected to a monoculture dedicated to uniformity. Nothing is allowed to survive that would challenge that hegemony. Nature does not submit easily, so ongoing efforts to eradicate that opposition are endless. But there are those who understand that Eden is a metaphor for living in harmony with creation. They realize that every creature, every plant, every season has its part to play, that all might be in balance. And they set their life to learn that balance. but they are not the majority. And despite their efforts to save what can be saved, millions of tons of chemicals are poured into the environment with no other purpose than to kill. What they do not understand is what kills plant and animal life accumulates in the environment and kills them as well. In the end, their war against nature is just as futile as humanity's constant warfare with one another. The cost for both wars is senseless and far too high. For those who yearn for something better, all creation yearns with them. The Bible tells us that day will come. Our Father will decide enough is enough with all the fighting and abuse and will end it the only way it can end, returning to the death dealers the hand they would have dealt to everyone else. Some might complain that he isn't fair to do so, but then those who will face such an end never really cared about justice anyway. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com with the footnotes for some of the thoughts shared in this commentary. You can also find hundreds more commentaries, podcasts, articles, and links to books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.